So good morning, everyone, as we again have our service. Of course, Fellowship Baptist Church is open for business, God's business. And as we know, the churches are essential, as people have found out, especially during times of great emotional turmoil like we've had with the virus, the vaccine rollout. As Jesus said, wars, rumors of wars, famine in diverse places, a lot of turnings, as we say, things being shaken and finding out if it has a real foundation. So as we spoke about last week, I hope everyone, especially those in our church and our friends of the ministry, you got through the holiday celebration okay. Whether you celebrated Christmas or not, there's no sin in that, as long as you were focused on the gospel. And that's the main thing. It's your chance to give not just the good news, the great news, that people are saved through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and what he's done. Now this week, what we're going to speak about is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as the old timers used to say. I use the term interchangeably. We're going to talk about the real Holy Spirit, the real Holy Ghost. Now, you'll see from the outline I presented, in the church today, we have a serious problem. Because we have become an immature group, we've taken the person of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, we know, controls all things. He's the one who helped set up the plan with the other persons in the Trinity. The Father didn't go to the cross. The Son went to the cross. Okay, the Holy Spirit is with us now. He was sent as the Comforter. So you have God, the Spirit, with you, who lives inside you once you become a Christian. He empowers you to love the Father, to love the Son, to want to do things that are godly. And that's what's supernatural about it. That's why you can't buy the Holy Spirit, as Simon Magus tried to do. And you can't do things to just obtain God's power. There's no formula. And one of the most frustrating things for those that are Christians, even with our family, our own children, we speak about the gospel, we teach the Bible, but we can't make people born again. We can't make them believe. It's something supernatural. It's a gift from God. So I can't explain to someone how to have the Holy Spirit and how it makes you care about people in your congregation, like Fellowship, or even those that are strangers, or those outside the congregation. That's something that has to come through your heart that's been changed by the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk about the real Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has become a Hollywood production in many churches where you speak in tongues, you try and have a gold dust drop from the ceiling, you sell that special holy water on TV, you know, that's really from Newark, New Jersey, and you sell it for $59.99. You ask people for a Holy Spirit seed where they send in $1,000 and you promise $10,000, $20,000 to come back to them somehow. People make a big show, of course, with the speaking in tongues. They don't even have an interpreter the way the Bible prescribes, even if you thought that was a real gift at this time. So it's become a Hollywood production. The real Holy Spirit is the one that people don't want to know about, because the real Holy Spirit works in you on your sanctification. It keeps you level-minded. As we spoke about for weeks, it makes you the adult in the room. You become a mature Christian. So the Holy Spirit I'm talking about gives you true wisdom. And I'll use the past holiday as an example. One of the reasons why the Puritans stopped celebrating Christmas in the 1600s and the church has intermittently stopped celebrating it is because they've taken an idea that was beautiful. Let's remember the birth of Jesus Christ, our King, and how he was the real Caesar and the real ultimate ruler in the world. And they made it something filthy. So this past holiday, as always, if you looked in the newspapers or in the ads, just browsing, you'd see that strip clubs were half off with special dinner deals. Prostitutes dropped their prices. People threw godless Christmas parties. Instead of being focused on the Lord or being with their family, they went out, they used the extra day off to go out and drink and eat and gorge themselves. And it became a whole exercise in lust. So what I'm telling you is the real Holy Spirit will have you wise enough to not go to a strip club, to not do drugs, not cheat on your husband or cheat on your wife. That's the real Holy Ghost, is that in your heart, you know better than your friends, family, whoever's influencing you. It gives you the conviction and the commitment to say no to the things of the world. And it's the greatest miracle. I challenge anyone, email me, call me, whatever. You tell me what's a greater miracle. Having people blabber as if they're speaking in tongues or perform some great miracle, or what's a greater miracle than God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, giving you the Holy Spirit, where he's able to take a person, all of us, who've lived a life of lust, who were completely selfish, just live for ourselves, and then we're changed in an instant, and we start to slowly live for God. So God pulls a sinful person out of the kingdom of the devil, brings you into his kingdom, and then you're still in this world surrounded by all these temptations, but he helps through his power, not yours, to keep you clean. And this is not perfectionism. We all sin every day and have our issues. That's not what we're saying. But we would not defend sin. I will use the Institute of Marriage to make my example. And many Christians do this. The new tradition, which has been around for a long time, if a man and a woman are going to get married, the man goes to party the night before. They call it a bachelor party. It's been celebrated in our culture, in movies. It's a billion-dollar business. And the women go out and they have a bachelorette party. Now, what does a man do? What type of message are you sending a man before he's going to get married? Well, before you get married, have that last night out where you party like a rock star, like a slob, and go to a place, set up a room with strippers, prostitutes, whatever. And this is our ritual in this culture before we get married. And then you wonder why marriages fall apart. What type of message are you sending? Is a man marrying a woman because he's been taught properly that that is the future of our people, our women, and that we are to protect our women and we are to raise godly families? Is that the lesson you're teaching him? Or it's a prison sentence that he's supposed to dread? And then it begs the question, if you're trying to do something productive by getting married, something productive for your people, for God's people, for society, what about those women that you're fooling around with or hanging out with at a strip club who have been completely abused, or they're just crazy whores that have been trapped in the lifestyle? What type of message is that sending? But people will celebrate these things. They'll go to strip clubs. They'll go to rowdy parties. And then they'll speak in tongues the next day in church. And that's what I'm telling you. The real Holy Spirit is the one that keeps you sober-minded. We're going to see this in the scriptures. We need to understand this. The real Holy Spirit is the one that keeps you going, that has that fire lit inside your heart, that even some of us come from really troubled homes. I know many of you have gone through it in our church, friends of the ministry. There are times where your home is like a prison in itself because the people you're living with do not want God and they do not want godly principles. And all you catch is grief and heartache for trying to stand up for the Lord. So that's the Holy Spirit that maintains you. And there is a way to live with the Spirit. And that's what we're going to speak about. So you're a woman, you want to have a name for yourself in church. Many of them try to be even pastors, which they shouldn't be. the sinning against God. It's a judgment on men, or they want to be a prophetess or one of these things, something ridiculous. But they'll go to the bachelorette parties. They'll go to the clubs. They'll hang out with the worldly people. What type of example are you setting in your life? Now, remember, we spoke about how the world will chase after these things. They'll have these sick rituals and things that they do, but you are not to behave that way. And if you don't even know the difference between right and wrong, you are not in correct fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to get into today. So let's pray and we'll get into this topic. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could be together at church, that we could be together with in fellowship, whether we're at church, we have a home church. We thank you, Lord, that you said where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a day of worship that, again, focuses on you and glorifies you. We thank you that you have sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that helps us to make it as Christians in this world, that helps to strengthen our walk. And we want to thank you for this time and pray that you would look over this time of worship and also this sermon, and that you would protect us, dear God. We always thank you in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and who we're speaking about today, the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord. And I wanted to bring up an example of how this breaks down. We had a very well-known pastor, the pastor to Justin Bieber and some of these, I think he was friends with, acquaintances with Jay-Z and a lot of these athletes and in the NBA and NFL, and Carl Lentz. And I'm not bringing this up to pile up on him. I'm bringing this up to give you an example of someone who was in a ministry, a Hillsong Ministries, which is a disgusting ministry, and all their churches are disgusting with the way they worship. But he's someone who, again, was charismatic, spoke very emotionally, claimed to have the power of the Spirit and of the Holy Ghost. As lawless as Hillsong is, they recently fired him because he was having sexual relations with multiple people, and he became known. They had a nickname for him that was pretty disgusting that I won't repeat during the sermon. But I'm not saying this to say, hey, gotcha, I'm glad you've fallen. It's very heartbreaking. He's a young man that I now pray for, that he would find true comfort in Jesus Christ. He has a wife, he has children. So this isn't to shame him. This is just to give a warning that this is someone who had a very popular ministry, very popular with the world, but again, he didn't have the real Holy Spirit. He had the fake Holy Spirit, the counterfeit Holy Spirit that brought you the wrong type of attention, but he didn't have the real Spirit. And I'm telling you, the real Holy Spirit for a pastor or for just a regular church member is the one that keeps you sanctified, keeps you sober-minded, keeps you out of trouble, out of serious sin, and makes you realize that those things are wrong. So the popular church today is leading their people into great trouble, and that's why God is smashing it. We are under judgment as a nation and also within the church. So let's turn the scripture. You should have the outline. I'll read it anyway if you don't. And we're going to be working on two basic verses today, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul is instructing Timothy, a young minister who he cares very much about. He was like a son in the faith to Paul. And he's giving him instructions. And he's telling him, and he's warning him, when it comes to preaching, to remember. Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And remember, when you see a semicolon or a colon in the Bible, you pay attention to what's coming after. It's going to explain what was said before. So Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, then what has he given us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when you are properly when you're in a proper relationship with God, when you're moving through life and walking as a Christian, not everything is going to make you afraid. It doesn't mean we can't be concerned. If we know a disaster is coming and we need to evacuate, we evacuate. But at the same time, we're doing our planning. We're walking with the Lord. We'll be level-minded as we're running from the disaster. We'll warn other people. We'll give them advice. We'll be the grown-ups in the room, the mature person, not the hysterical, fake, you know, faith healer, charismatic, tongue-speaking maniac like we see on television and hear on the radio many times. But we'll be the one that, working with the Holy Ghost in us, will have the correct answers. We'll be able to calm people. So we're going to break these down one at a time. If you're really living in the Spirit, and we all fall sometimes. We all come up short in our spiritual lives. God understands that. Paul understands it. That's why he's telling Timothy that you can stir up these gifts. Everyone has been given a gift from God that's unique to them. Now, the number one gift that we all have is the ability to spread the story of Jesus Christ. So you can tell people that are in trouble, that are trapped in spiritual darkness, the story of Jesus. God sent his son to redeem a people for himself, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, paid for our sins, went down into the tomb, and then after the third day was raised again, now lives forever. He's on the right hand of God the Father. This amazing once in history miracle was performed for us. And you tell people they can escape the kingdom and the slavery that the devil has them trapped in. They can get out. And what greater, as we speak about many times, what greater thing than to take someone who's trapped in darkness, that they are in chains, worse than physical chains, spiritual chains. They're trapped. Satan has them. And you witnessing to them, bring them out. God uses your witness, your mouth, speaking to them about Jesus Christ, and brings them out of the world of darkness and into Christ's kingdom of light. And then you see the Holy Spirit working in them and their sanctification. Maybe they were a drug dealer. Maybe they were a stripper, a contract killer, whatever. When people are brought into God's kingdom, they change. It's the miracle of a changed life. And you get to see that and participate in that. And what's more powerful than that? So that's the opportunity we have. So we're going to break down these three things. Power. What type of power is Paul talking about here? Love. The type of love that he's speaking about. And a sound mind, which is very important. And in each point I'm going to break down, I gave you the original Greek word for power, love, and a sound mind. And by the time we're finished with this sermon today, you should know exactly what it means to walk in the Spirit. So, point number one, God's chosen people are not allowed to live a life of spiritual defeat. You're not allowed to stay defeated as a Christian. You might have had a tough time. You might be feeling really bad today because things weren't normal over your day of celebration with Christmas, whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life. We do feel defeated at times, but you can't stay that way. You're not allowed. And the power of the Holy Spirit is always there for us, regardless of life's circumstances. We can live in a state of spirit-filled power. And you want to stir up the particular spiritual gift God has given you. God will use you to glorify himself. We have people that have reached so many that did not believe, not because they were able to speak well or they're able to come up with certain arguments, they just handed out tracts, Bible tracts, which if you don't know what that is, it's just a piece of paper with some verses on it. Sometimes people write up nice Bible tracts. Sometimes they're simple. We hear the testimonies. That's why I love to hear the testimonies of the Gideons and other people that have been touched by a piece of paper. Someone printed a Bible verse on a piece of paper with a basic explanation of the gospel. People's lives are changed by that. So we all have gifts. Some have a gift of administration. You know, a lot of times we joke around in the church, who's the most important person in the church? And people say, oh, the pastor. Like, no, of course not. It's the church secretary. if you want to have a well-organized church, so many people calling a church, as I've done before, when you hear someone filled with the Holy Ghost and a spirit of peace who picks up that phone, that's your first contact with the church many times, is the church secretary. That's a very important person. And so everyone has a gift, whether it's administration, whether it's some type of, you know, counseling, one-on-one counseling. And that's why we see these examples in the Bible. Paul talks about, the Bible speaks about how the older women, you don't ignore the younger women. Those who are willing to be counseled, you speak to them, you counsel them. You've gone through everything, whether it's child rearing, problems in marriage, whatever it is, financial troubles. You counsel these women. You don't waste your life listening to, you know, Hollywood movies and radio and TV, and you use it productively. Same thing for the men. Many young men won't listen to you, but many will. And that's part of your ministry. So everyone has a particular gift. With Timothy, it was Paul telling him, look, you have this gift of preaching and bringing the word. You better not back down. You better not be afraid. I don't care if you're scared at times. You can't live in that fear. And you have to go from, you know, that scared lamb to a lion for the faith. You have to exercise these gifts. So all of us who have these gifts, many times you feel depressed, you feel defeated, and that's because you're not really living for Christ. So you might be a grandmother who has access to her grandchildren. Speak to them about Christ. That's your ministry right now. You might be a grandfather who has access to, you know, your grandson. Same thing. Wherever you are, you live the Christian life. You walk in the power of the Spirit. Now that word, dunamis, literally means power, might, strength. And of course, in the Bible, it means it in a miraculous sense. So this power, this is real power, explosive power that enables you to bring the word of God, that even when you're not feeling well or you're not doing well, God can pull you out of depression. God can pull you out of a time where you have backslidden and you're not living in the Spirit the way you're supposed to. And this, again, this is the real Holy Ghost. We can go to church on Sunday, listen to a sermon. We can attend the midweek Bible study. We can read our word. But our faith is not fake. It's a real relationship where God is living inside you and working through you to reach people. So you can do all your biblical homework, but if you're not living it, then you're not experiencing God in his fullest. And again, it doesn't mean flashy stuff like speaking in tongues and casting out demons and all this other stuff that 99% of these people, it's fake anyway, or they're not qualified to do it. If you are speaking in tongues, claiming to be able to speak in tongues and perform these amazing miracles, but your own children are a wreck, your own walk in the faith is a wreck. You're living just like any other sinner in the world. You need to check yourself, and you need to get back to the basics. The real Holy Ghost will work on your sanctification. It will keep you safe in the world. And more than any prescription drug or anything else, any recreational drug, the Holy Ghost will give you a feeling of peace. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Now let's go to, we're going to work with Ezekiel 36, and I'm in verses 22 to 25, and then we'll go back to it. But I want to show you the type of circumstances. This is Israel in a bad way, if you remember this part of Ezekiel. And he's speaking to Israel, and he's telling them, you are a complete mess. This doesn't matter if you're a nation like America. Remember, a nation has a personality, and individuals have a personality. Just like we'll speak about a mob, we'll talk about the group sometimes. It takes on a psychology of its own, and we'll talk about the individuals. Well, God is speaking to Israel, the nation that became lost. And why is God going to work on them and redeem them? It's not for their glory. They weren't so wonderful. For his name's sake. And it's the same reason why God cares about you and he cares about the church. He will discipline us. He will work on us. And it won't be pleasant all the time, because God is not going to allow you to call yourself a Christian or allow these churches, fake churches like Hillsong Church and many of the other churches, to claim his name and blaspheme his name amongst the world. And we'll see this in Ezekiel. So this is what God says. And in some of your Bibles, there's actually a subtext that says a new heart and spirit. And it's correct, actually. So in Ezekiel, this is God speaking through Ezekiel. Says, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. So this is what God does. And this is where the Holy Spirit will come in. God pulls a sinful nation out of its sin. He pulls sinful people out of their sin, out of the mess that they're in, the spiritual suicide that they're living in. And he cleans you, and he makes you new. So even in the worst circumstances, God can make someone new. No one is ever truly lost. No one. If you come to the foot of the cross, you say, Jesus, I haven't lived for you before. I haven't lived the life that was supposed to glorify you. I made so many mistakes. I might be, whatever, you might be 70 years old, 80 years old. Who cares? Better late than never. But Lord, I want to make it right today. I plead for mercy. I plead for mercy, Lord. I want to be a child of God. And if you're already a Christian, you can, and you've wrecked things in your spiritual walk, you say, Lord, I need you to revive me again. Please, Lord, help me to stir up the gifts that are in me. Lord, help me to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me be revived again in my walk with you. And God will do it, not because you're so wonderful or I am so wonderful. For his name's sake, he's going to make himself a people. He will have a kingdom before this world is destroyed to enter with him into the new heaven and the new earth that he's going to create. So there's always a chance. And God will pull us out of filth. That is the real work of the Spirit, capital S, in your Bibles. So that's what we're speaking about. Now we can understand. That's what the power is. The power that you can't exercise on your own. It's a gift from you. I'm sorry. It's a gift from God. That you will, God will work through you. So we have that first word, dunamis, which is power. And then we have the next word in line, which is agape. Paul speaks about love. So he's telling us, again, the same way he told Timothy, you can't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. What type of love is Paul speaking about? Is he talking about the way you love your dog Skip, you love your pet, or the way you might love material things, like you love a house or your 401k? No. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm sipping some coffee. Forgive me. He's talking about agape love, which is a particular love, which means a love that extends to the brotherhood, a true spirit of love, selfless love, not being selfish, but wanting to serve. A love, again, I gave you a short definition, love, goodwill. You in the spirit want to love those around you, especially those in the flock, believers, other Christians. And we spoke about this before. We tolerate so much evil in the world, but then we don't love the brethren the way we're supposed to. We're going to get into this love. You need to be born again to really have this love in your heart. We're all wicked by nature. You can't do it of yourself. Now, we're going to go right back to Ezekiel 36, because we're going to see once God takes someone, whether it's a nation or a person, and he works on them and cleans them up, he's going to give them a gift, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this in Ezekiel 36 as we continue. Look, the gospel, part of the gospel in the Old Testament. So he talks about cleaning them up. They were once filthy, into all types of crazy things. He cleans them up, and then what does he do to help finish the process? God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So this is what God is speaking about, is he's taking a people that were dirty and he's going to make them clean. Now, they had an idea of who God was, but it doesn't mean it's like Christians who go to church and do the Bible studies. It doesn't mean you're living in a right relationship with God. So we have the power that comes from the Holy Spirit that allows us to stir up our gifts, to be a faithful witness in the world. And then we have this love. So it's power and then love. And this love will make you do things you wouldn't do in the past. Most of us, if someone offended us, either we ran away from them, never spoke to them again, or maybe we're more the aggressive type. You know, you went to punch them in the face or get physical with them. The real Holy Ghost will change you. Instead of being so angry all the time and condemning everyone, it will help you to work with them through Scripture, to offer them grace, to not be so volatile. And that's one thing we don't want as Christians. We don't want to be hopeless. We don't want to be afraid. This age we have in America right now and in the church, it's an age of apathy. And what apathy means is having a feeling of not being able to change something. We're disinterested. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, it's out of my hands. Well, to a point, it is out of your hands where God is in control, but he's using you as his instrument to extend his kingdom. So it doesn't matter who the president of the United States is. It might make life a little more comfortable depending on who it is. But Christians were in the spirit under the tyranny of Nero. And then many Christians were still in the spirit when they got a break under Constantine in the 300s. So that's why Paul says you have to preach the gospel. You have to be faithful in season and out of season. You have to learn to be happy with a little bit or with a lot. Now, a lot of people are going to need to learn about the real Holy Spirit, because this is a challenging time right now. God is taking away all the toys from his children that he's blessed them with that we didn't properly appreciate. And it's not even just the big house and the car anymore. It's simple things like having enough food to put on the table. So we have to be an example for people. So we have that power, and then we have that love. So the new heart God has given born-again believers embodies the spirit of love. We now have the ability to love God and the brotherhood of believers. If you cannot love, you have no spiritual power. There are people that go to church, these charismatic-type churches, they think they're speaking in tongues, they're partaking in these miracles, they think they could cast out demons, and they are angry at everyone. Their spiritual walk is a mess. Their life is a mess. There are those in more doctrinally faithful churches. You know, they sniff the tulip, and they have good Reformed doctrine, and then they celebrate Christmas, getting their seventh or eighth tattoo, getting drunk, you know, at the bar, and then going home. So we need to walk and live in the Spirit. None of us are immune from this. You need goodwill. You need a spirit of love. If you can't love those people in your life, even the annoying ones, then something's wrong. You have to have a spirit of patience, regardless of what people think to you. I come and I deliver a sermon. Sometimes we record it, sometimes we don't. When these things go public, how many people are going to look at me like I'm a cornball? I'm an idiot, right? Fine, who cares? I'll be God's moron, I'll be God's idiot if it reaches someone with the gospel. And many times when you bring truth, I went through this with health, with nutrition, people with diabetics having fingers cut off and losing toes and wondering why, as they're drinking soda and eating candy bars and they're setting their body on fire. You try and give them advice on how they're supposed to eat, and they look at you like you're an idiot, and they continue to go through these horrible experiences in their life. Well, it's the same thing with Christians. We have the answers. It doesn't mean people are going to accept it. And one of the most difficult parts for a Christian that has a heart filled with love, we have to watch people suffer, unfortunately. But you keep that love and that goodwill in your heart, and you stay faithful. So we have power in the Spirit. We need to have love in the Spirit. And we'll speak about this in the next text. We'll have a text that ties us all together. So point number three, this is the big one for the church. People like to talk about power. I'm powerful. Ooh, got the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost fire. I'm on fire for the Lord. I could do this. I could do that. And they have an idea of love. We talk about love until we're nauseous. Some of these sermons every week is just, God loves you. You know, you're great. You're wonderful. He loves you. You know, you just robbed the liquor store, shot four people. Don't worry. God loves you. Send us a tithe. Everything will be fine, right? So we hear about power. We hear about love. One thing we don't hear about in the church is self-control. That's the big one that no one wants, because that one hurts all of us, including me. So we're told we're not to have a spirit of fear, but of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sophronismos in the Greek, which means literally just self-control. So this is the one Christians don't like. This hits us where it hurts. We like the power part. We appreciate the love part, but the self-control, a sound mind, staying focused and balanced in a world that tempts us all the time, that shows the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why that's the third part of our outline, and I'll actually fix my outline. Remember, I'm not writing a Turabian-style term paper. I'm just giving you notes. I see that I didn't paste and text correctly in the top, but follow the numbers 1, 2, and 3, and that's correct with the scriptures. So the main issue with the church today is a lack of self-control. This is a sign of a group which is not spiritually mature, and that's why as a minister, you as an elder, a deacon, the regular membership, who also do great works of God, push people to be spiritually mature. The way you show what type of Christian you are, if you're really walking in the Spirit, is having a clean walk, I didn't say a perfect walk, but a clean walk, calling that which is evil, evil, and that which is good, good, and not mixing them up. We have churches jumping on board. They jumped on board with the abortion. They jumped on board with the adultery. Then it was the gays, the sodomites, the lesbians, and now they're going full transgender friendly, and many of them are communists. Like the most holy, magnificent, illustrious Pope in the Vatican, or you want to be Pope in one of these communist social justice type churches now, where there's nothing that the government does where they don't agree with them. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We need to show self-control, be sober in our mind, know how to think as Christians, see a scam when we see it. So the main issue with the church today is a lack of self-control. This is a sign of a group which is not spiritually mature. You cannot live in the power of the Holy Spirit and grieve him at the same time. We're going to see what that means. Anyone walking in the Spirit will be ashamed of their past sins. Many of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit we see in the modern evangelical church is counterfeit. What's the picture of a Christian now? We used to be those who pushed and developed science from the first days through the early church, through the medieval church. The church were the ones that were experts on husbandry. They were experts in biology and animal breeding. They kept all these cultures and all this wisdom that we had alive. Remember, they were the only ones in the church many times able to read and write. Even as the pagans complain about us, many of the priests and missionaries documented their religions that they now want to go back to today because they were illiterate. They couldn't even read and write down what their religion was about. So we were also, as I showed you last week, the church, we're not anti-vaxxers with every vaccine. We helped develop vaccines. The Puritan minister, Cotton Mather, helped with developing the vaccine for smallpox, the inoculation. And all of those through history, Louis Pasteur, those who helped come up with antibiotics and many of these experts, they were all Christians. So we were the rational, scientific, logical, cogent thinking group that you could speak to. Now you look at the way they've co-opted our faith. They've made us bumbling, yelling idiots. Look at T.D. Jakes this weekend. Look at Joel Osteen this weekend. Look at any of them this weekend, what they're doing, what they're preaching. And people are screaming and yelling at church. It looks like a Hollywood production. That's not the way we're supposed to be. The Bible is my witness against these people, not my own personal opinion. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This will be our last scripture for today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. This ties it all together. And again, in some of your Bibles, it'll give it away. The heading, Living as Children of Light. Paul ties all this together, what he was saying to Timothy, for the believers, for all of us. How do we live in power, love, and self-control of the Holy Ghost? He's going to describe it. Everything I've been saying, the sermon is summed up in these verses. This is Paul speaking to those at Ephesus. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Remember, the Gentiles were the non-Jews that were trapped in the world system, in Mystery Babylon. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. How can your heart be blind? Because Paul is not speaking about your physical heart, it means your spiritual heart, your center of judgment and emotions, and the way you function and walk. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So these are people that are going to get married and then party with hookers and strippers the night before the wedding and then go to church the next day and go to a church ceremony and then look all their family in the face as they get married as a bride and groom after the filth that they lived the night before. That's what blindness and not walking in the Spirit and having a twisted heart will do. who being past feeling, right, has given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I told you, you might be a babe in Christ, you might be struggling with your sins, you might be someone that's walked with the Lord for 60 years, and now you're starting to backslide. Remember, you've put on the new man, or for the ladies, the new woman. You have a new spirit, and you should walk that way, and it will give you wisdom. We all fall into traps. The Holy Ghost will give you, will empower you to get out of that trap. His work in you will pull you out. So focus on God, and that's how you get it done. So righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We are human beings. We do get angry, but we don't let that fester and become vindictive. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. It's exactly what I've been saying throughout my whole ministry. We don't follow Christ's commands. We have a gushy, feel-good type of fake gospel. And then we don't stir up the gifts that God's given us. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I was a dog. I lived the life I wanted. I sinned much. God rescued me. I owed him so much. Why won't I give that same type of consideration to my neighbor, especially another brother or sister in Christ? It doesn't mean we don't exert church discipline. If someone is fresh or a real wise guy in church, or a woman who's acting out, we exert church discipline. And even if need be, we throw them out if it gets that far. But our first reaction should be mercy, not to hang someone right away for the smallest offense. So that's the real Holy Ghost. Paul says you grieve the Holy Ghost. You don't practice your spiritual gifts. You feel depressed. You feel defeated. You feel weak at times. You're not living in power because you don't have that self-control. You are not walking in the Spirit. You cannot have the devil and the Holy Ghost living in you at the same time. And that's why any church that teaches you it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to act like an idiot and to be out of control and scream and yell and roll on the floor, there's a problem. And same thing with our Reformed friends. If you think because you memorize total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints, and you have no worldview, and you have no walk with the Lord, you're not reformed. You just memorize the system that was used to fight Arminianism at one time. That's all you've done. So let's focus on our walk with God. Don't live defeated. Remember these verses that I gave you today. You should be living in power, love, and self-control to be victorious as a Christian. Don't forget that. And don't let anyone discourage you. This world cannot stand up to the power of Jesus Christ. So if you're one of those people that have felt helpless, or you claim to be a Christian, but you're just angry all the time, no one does anything right, everyone has something wrong with them, well, maybe after a while there's something wrong with you. And we all get into that spirit of complaining and complaining about everybody, and I can't do anything, nothing can be done. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. I will always preach to the congregation I love, Fellowship Baptist Church, as long as I can. And I will also preach to our friends of the ministry, no matter how bad it looks, because I'm not God. And it's none of my business how things are ultimately going to work out. My business is to serve him in the spirit and to speak the scriptures, to speak honestly to you. And with that, we'll end our sermon. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we leave church today, that you keep us faithful. We ask that you strengthen us. We pray, Lord, that we live with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we express that power that we have through the Holy Spirit in love and also in self-control. We know, Lord, and you know, that the world tempts us in every way, every signal from the media, sometimes in our own homes, from our family. It tells us to sin. It tells us not to care. It tells us that things are hopeless. But we know, Lord, that the more we practice our gifts, the more power we have. We pray, Lord, that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but we glorify the Holy Spirit. We ask this, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless everyone. And we ask that you walk in the Spirit this week. Stay focused. Stay focused on Scripture. Have God all around you. And let us meet again as God's children. And again, if you want, Wednesday, we have our study. So God bless everyone. And thank you so much.